the volume.
This Sessions is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. They're America's number one sportsbook for a reason, y'all. It's so easy to use. It's safe and secure. That's one of the main things for me. I don't want any BS. I love that there's no BS with FanDuel. Plus, you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours. Plus, it's super fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. It's awesome. So if you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with the promo code Renee, that's R-E-N-E-E, so that they know that I sent you. Disclaimer, 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Wyoming, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Or text next step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG for Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY for New York. Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789, and 1-800-522-4700 for Wyoming. Visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia.
Hey guys, welcome to the Sessions. This was so much fun. So during the week for Full Gear being out in Newark, we got to do some really great sit-down interviews. So yes, you get to listen to it here. And it's always really fun, of course, to be in the same room as somebody. Just kind of like changes the dynamic, changes the flow of the conversation. I love, love, love it. So that's great. But you can also check it all out on YouTube if you want to like see us hanging out, because I feel like that's just like an extra fun little layer as well. So you guys know what to do. Find it all on YouTube. Just search my name, Renee Paquette. It will all pop up there for you. So my first guest from these sit-down interviews that I did is Marina Shafir. I'm so pumped to have her on the show. It was really interesting, too, because I wasn't expecting there to be this like emotional aha moment. And it was really, quite a cool moment for that to happen with Marina. I mean, you talk about somebody that just is like very passionate about what they do and puts in the work and seeks out the opportunities while also being a mom, just being like a badass, and me being like a new mom. I just have so much respect for women that do that. I mean, I know what that struggle can be like to like keep all things afloat. So to see her just like, you know, forge on is really great. Obviously, we talk Four Horsewomen. I would be remiss to not ask her about that. We talk about Rhonda. We talk about Shayna, their relationships. Yeah, and just like what she wants to do, her time in blood sport, what that meant to her, trying to make those connections in like the pro wrestling world as well from what she was able to do in blood sport. If you've not seen it, I highly recommend you go and check out Marina Shafir on blood sport with Josh Barnett's blood sport. Very, very cool stuff. All right, guys, enough of me talking. There's about 45 minutes to an hour more of me talking. So here we go. Let's get into it, guys. This is Marina Shafir. I'm very excited to have you here on the show. I feel like I've like been a fan of yours, whether it was your time at NXT, the stuff you've got to do in Bloodsport, to what you're doing now in AEW. But I just feel like there's so much more that we can see and do with you. How do you feel about that stuff? Of like, there's just so much to chew on with you.
First off, thank you. Like, I feel like we've satellited each other like a lot, and like just as much.
That's
as, like,
a good you, term for
like,
it. Yes,
just as much as you are. Like, I'm just as much a fan of like just the way you carry yourself behind a mic. Very well done.
Thank you.
Like, I have a lot of respect for that.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm really understanding that this business is about timing,
right?
Like,
yeah,
you know, 50-50. I just got to make sure my 50 is like up to par when my real opportunity comes.
I think that's it's a great perspective, and it's true. I mean, there's so many times it's like you can have all the talent in the world, and if the moment is not there for, you know, your services and the things that you bring to the table,
might not be the thing that are in demand at that moment. And it's like finding the time to like, it's like that preparation meets opportunity is when all that success happens. Frustrating as all hell though when you're waiting
for
it, right?
I'm literally, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm just like, fuck it. Like I have every reason to just take complete control over this shit. But yeah. I'm also a big person on respect and, you know, understanding. Like whenever I feel like frustrated or like so emotional, I have like tears in like the corners of my eyes. There's just something I'm not understanding. And I just try to like dumb it down for myself for a minute and like slow it down, because I've seen so many people get taken advantage of over miscommunications and, you know, just a lack of communication. And I think this is a great environment to like encourage us to have clear communication with each other over what we want, how we want it, when we want it, and see if it's a possibility.
When I'm like seeing you, whether it's at TV or whatever, you're someone who likes to work. You like to let you like to work. You like to be busy. You like to learn from people. You like to have the conversations with people. What have been some of the things that you've been able to see and learn from women that come from the same background as you? From, I mean, you've got the judo background. That's a style that you would bring to the ring. From Rhonda, from Shayna, from Jessamyn. Like, what are some of the things that you've seen from them that work and things that don't work?
Because like I just as just being my friends, like just sharing the experiences that we've had together, like, you know, just unsolicited and just not, not contrived, like just organic times together where we really recognize how unique one another was and like why we were in that space together in that time. And like, that's kind of like what I really want to bring out in myself as a performer. They taught me that. Like, your friends tell you why you're special.
Sure.
You know, like, they told me why I was special. And it's just so funny because, like, you know, people just think I just kind of showed up. Anytime somebody gets to know me, they're like, they just think I just kind of showed up.
Right.
And that's fine. It's, you know, it's fine. It's just that the work has always been a thing that I've been putting in. That's not a point I'm ever out to prove. I have other people say it for me because they recognize that.
Yeah.
But from them, that's what that's exactly what stands out.
Well, I feel, I mean, for me, my first, like, when you first popped up on my radar was like, oh, Ronda Rousey's really into wrestling. Yeah, she's always watching wrestling with her friends. And, like, there's all these videos that you guys were always doing. Like, so for, like, the training and everything that you guys were all doing together to being huge wrestling fans, to being the four horsewomen, and, oh, we will get into that. what were sort of the steps that went into pro wrestling being the dream for you?
It wasn't like this organic. I mean, it was organic in its own nature, but like I was an immigrant. My parents didn't understand any English. Like,
they watched wrestling.
We did sometimes, but here's the thing. My dad, he was really big influence in my life, like my superhero.
This is his jacket, by the
way. Yeah, this is his jacket,
by
the
way. What's your dad's name?
Benjamin Shafir.
Benjamin Shafir. Yeah. Did I say that right?
Yes,
Benjamin?
You did. Yep, absolutely.
If I say it right away, I'll be good. I probably won't be able to repeat
it. It's okay. It's okay. The first, you got me on the first one. he was just a really big influence in my life, and he was always like, you know, that's just fake. But he comes from a culture where, like, they pride themselves on real, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, he also didn't really take the time to like talk about how this is an entertainment business, blah, blah, blah. So it was always on in the background for like a little bit here and there, but we never really dove in. I was into like Chuck Norris, Jackie Chan, like, you know, old school martial artsy movies that like they don't talk. It's just pantomiming a lot. Uh-huh. Later on when the four of us were living together, me, Rhonda, Shayna, and Jessamyn, Shayna was the one who like really, it just brought us together. Like, we're in some fight camp, and, like, it was just the thing that we did. And then you, like, program yourself to, like, check back in with your people, and that was the time that we did.
What were you guys watching then? Like, what were the things you guys were really into?
Mainly Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, right? That's what got us in. But then, like, you know, Shayna being Shayna, she's like, dangerous. And like that's called the Indies, and there's one particular show called PWG.
Witches go there. Like, but really, not a lot of girls went at the time. And we somehow just, you know how professional wrestling works? Like, somebody said something to someone, this and then that. And then there we are, all experience it. And we're like, oh, there's levels to this, like, for real.
Okay, so everyone's starting to get the buzz that there's the four horsewomen. You guys are all buddies. You all live together. You're all big wrestling fans. What were the conversations? Especially because, like, I think it was, like, very much so, like, oh, Ronda Rousey's going to get into pro wrestling. But then it was like, we're all doing this thing. Like, how did that all kind of come together to sort of, like, figure out what, like, the future was going to look like for you guys?
It wasn't ever really, like, a conversation. It was more of, like, a mutual understanding. And at the time, Shayna was the one, like, towards the end. Like, I had hurt my neck. This is right before Ronda fought Holly. I had hurt my neck really bad. And I was out from two herniated discs and trying to get back into, like, at least competing in jiu-jitsu and rehabbing. I was in my own, like, thing. Yeah. At that time, Shayna really decided to double down on wrestling. And I think she went to Japan. Or she was getting ready to go to Japan. We just were on different paths. And I had met Roddy at PWG, and he just slid into my DMs and just, you know that pro wrestling charm.
Sure
you just,
do. We just, all fall victim to
you
it.
You know, I know how to, like, sweep people off their feet, but he fucking got me. I don't know, like, I got pregnant, thought everything was over because, you know, I was just not where I wanted to be in my career. Mm-hmm. And I committed to being a family.
Yeah.
And I moved. And
where were you then? California?
Yeah, I was living in California. Yeah. And then I moved to Florida. And Roddy was in a transition too, which was, you know, an emotional roller coaster.
Sure was a fun time.
There was a lot of unsurety, you know, like,
yeah,
we lived in a house that, like, was a client of his mother's that she cleaned, like, to help us out.
Yeah,
it was rough.
Yeah.
Then I had Troy, and he had been signed with NXT. And, you know, that was around the time, right when Troy was born, was when Ronda was, like, stirring the pot a little bit more. We were all associated as the four. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting because it's something that the fans really wanted.
Of course.
The fans more so established it.
Yeah.
And us, like, we really didn't have to be like, we're the four horsewomen. We're going to prove it to you. Mm-hmm. No, there was no song and dance.
Yeah.
It was just like, we're friends. We train. We fucking push each other. And that's just what it is.
Well, it was such, I mean, that's where, like, the organic side comes to, where it's like, okay, we've got you guys on one side, but then there's Charlotte, Sasha, Bailey, Becky. We've got, like, those four horsewomen. Everyone was like, I can't believe we never got that, by the way. Hey. Like, I still can't believe that never happened.
Egos,
like, oh my God.
Egos were at play.
I bet. I'm sure.
And, you know, I've learned there's some too many fucking cooks in the kitchen sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
in more
ways than one. And
yeah.
I never knew this, but, like, you know, I just feel like professional wrestling was a little bit more exclusive back in the day. It wasn't just about, like, politicking. It was just about, like, really showing respect, not kissing ass, and, like, mm-hmm. not feeling like you have to give something up of yourself to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Evolving, yeah, but, like, stripping yourself, like, I don't know.
Get more kicks out of every world soccer match with FanDuel. Soccer fans, now is a perfect time to give FanDuel a shot because new customers get $125 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And when you bet on Team USA in group play, all customers get free bets back if they don't win. FanDuel is also now live in Maryland. Get in on the action now with great offers, boosts, and more. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is safe, secure, and super, super easy to use. Plus, you can build your own same-game parlays and take advantage of awesome offers all throughout the tournament. Best of all, you get paid for your winnings instantly. So don't miss your chance to get $125 in free bets, win or lose, when you join FanDuel with the promo code Renee, R-E-N-E-E. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Disclaimer, 21 plus in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG for Colorado, Iowa, Minneapolis, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT for Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org for Maryland. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 for Tennessee. Visit ksgamblinghelp.com for Kansas. 1-800-522-4700 for Wyoming. Or visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia.
I want to get into like the parenthood stuff too. Like, because I feel like it all just kind of coincides. Like kind of all at the same time too. Like as a woman, having your baby, you've got Roddy, that part of life is coming together. But you mentioned that your career was not where you want it to be. You see Rhonda going to do her thing. How did that feel to be like pregnant in that mode, beautiful time of your life, but still being like, shit, I want to be doing that stuff too. Like, was that a weird, sort of juxtaposition?
Absolutely. You know, like that feeling of like, you need to go pee
when you're pregnant. Hell yeah.
So like, I felt like I needed to fucking pee, but I couldn't go.
We got UTIs up in here.
Exactly. Like, it just felt like I had this like internal pressure to like go, bleh, and I like couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And it is the worst. It's like a reoccurring fucking sneeze that just won't get the fuck out, right? And it's just, you just eat it each time and you're just like fucking yourself up more because you just need the sneeze to get out. But I like relate better in like metaphors and I just
keep them coming. I like it. I like them a lot. I'm feeling it. I get it.
But yeah, like I was really flattered that I was still, you know, considered part of the group, even though I had gone through like all this transition. I was away from my friends.
Yeah.
We were not together.
Yeah.
You know, we only like linked up a couple times. And I felt like this responsibility, like, if I'm going to be in this role, like, buck the fuck up. Like, you know, like, yes, you're dealing with your own, but like, you just need to start putting one foot in front of the other and just making sure you're ready for whatever.
So what did that look like for you to go from having Troy and this whole life overhaul of like, you're getting married, you're doing all these things. You were signed to NXT at this point?
I got signed to NXT when Troy was like a little over one.
Okay. Yeah. So what were the steps to get back to that spot as an athlete and mother and the time that both of these things take to like really like dedicate yourself to those things sessions. Is like, I know, like, no, for real. I can't even imagine like as someone that's like, my body can do whatever it needs to do and it is what it is. But even just like working and being a mom and trying to like strike that balance is like, holy shit. I can't imagine doing that while also having to put in the time in the gym and like physically feel the way that you need to feel is like, oh my God.
Yeah. All of that. Just all of that every day over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, like there are some days where like, shit, you know what your responsibilities should be that day.
Yeah.
But you just like take a look at yourself in the mirror and you're just like, it's not today.
Yeah.
You know, and like being forced to listen to your body, being forced to like do what you need.
Yeah.
And not realizing that you're actually bettering yourself.
Yeah.
You just have complete FOMO and then there's postpartum and then there's...
Did you have any like postpartum stuff?
It was brutal.
Yeah.
Because Roddy was busy and I was stay-at-home mom, learning how to be a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. And, you know, then I started getting the training bug again. I was around like 8 to 12 weeks postpartum. I started doing jiu-jitsu again. And then I lost a lot of movement, but I was like, oh, fuck, though. Like, it's kind of like riding a bike. I kind of still got it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really rough. There was a lot of beautiful moments. You know, there was one. This was one of the moments that, like, you know, I just froze still breastfeeding. I breastfed him for 14 months.
Good for you. Holy and, shit. And,
you know, that was the one thing that, like, that was my one goal. Get at least a year if I could, because I know how hard that shit is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't fucking happen. And women, regardless of their history, they encourage it because they know, like, if they could, they fucking would.
Sure.
And I had an opportunity to do it. But then, you know, around fucking a year, you're just like, biggest fucking mistake of my life. What the fuck? Like, I'm just, you know, at every fucking beck and call, man. Like, and I love my son.
Yeah.
But I couldn't take a shit without having to hold him in my lap. Just naked and defeated because I was like,
this is naked and afraid. Shit.
Like, legit. Seriously, yeah. I could cry. Like, you guys are laughing. Fuck you. Like, I'm just, you will never have to experience that, like, lonesome, just frustrated feeling of just like, how am I going to wipe my ass? Like, I'm just like, what the fuck?
It's so fucked, like, legit. The things that you go through as a parent, that you're like, oh my God, I was not prepared for this.
And here's the kicker.
I didn't know this was a thing. Oh my God.
Troy was supposed to be a twin.
Oh my gosh.
He fucking ate his brother in my womb. Wait, that's why we called him Shark Boy for like a little while.
Oh.
Yeah, so that, like, then you feel that with the postpartum. It's just after wave after wave, and, like, it's a skill to learn, like, this is temporary. Yeah. Catch your breath. And I'm like, I fucking just want to get out of the water. Get me out.
I know. Yeah, when you're just, like, and I mean, shit, even this morning, I was, like, trying to get out the door, and because I wasn't home much yesterday, Nora's, like, needy, 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 and I'm like, oh, I've got somewhere to be, and I'm like, then you're getting, like, that mom guilt that's pulling you in one direction, but you've got meetings to get to, and, like, work things you need to do, and it's, like, trying to split your attention to two things and do both of those things well is, like, whew.
Yeah.
Holy crap. It's crazy.
It's not that it's, like, so negative, right? It's just that it's like really hard.
Adjustment.
It's an adjustment and it's a labor of love. When it's the labor of love, it's really fucking hard. Mm-hmm. It is really hard.
Yeah.
And sure I'm is. Not saying that like I regret any of it. I just should have really pumped more and just put the bottle in his mouth and like, you know, and like I love our son, but it was one of those things that lesson, you know, serious lesson. It's not the end of He's the most affectionate, loving kid, and, like, I definitely don't regret any of that. It's just, I would have saved myself some migraines and some loss of sleep.
I was the opposite way, where Nora stopped breastfeeding at 2 months, and I was like, we're in a good groove. Yeah. Everything's awesome. I feel good. You're eating plenty. Like, I thought we were in a rhythm, and she was like, I'm done with you. And I was like, what? So you, like, go through that, like, that weird mom guilt thing where you're like, no, we should be doing this. I'm going to fight you on this. Like, this is going to happen. To then me going, you know what? She takes a bottle and now I can wear a different top. I don't have to worry about busting a titty out at every corner.
Or it's leaking. Like, or fucking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I didn't know this was going to be a mom therapy session, but
hey, we are. Listen, this one's for the moms, I guess, because
it's a beautiful thing. We're all different. And like, obviously, you love your kid, but it's like when you are, we're all so busy. I mean, it's whatever your career is, whatever the thing is you're doing, it's like just trying, it's the moments of trying to get like back on track, which I guess was like my question to you of like, when did you feel like you were in that good groove and trying to get back to where like you were in like fighting mode and then getting signed to NXT?
When I got released from NXT, I was in the best shape of my life.
You were. And I feel like that was like a notable thing of like, shit, look at you. You looked great.
And it threw me for a loop because I consistently asked for that pressure. It should be easy with me. Mm-hmm. I know what I look like. I know what my disposition is. Mm-hmm. Just use me. There was stuff going on with Jess and Shayna was doing her thing. Mm-hmm. Use me. Give me that experience. I'm not afraid of failing. I keep saying that to everyone.
Yeah.
You see, like, the great ones, you know? They've been put in those positions for a reason because they have failed. And then they learned. Mm-hmm. And it's a nonverbal trust. And I, you know, sometimes maybe I talk a little too much because I'm not able to do as much. But, like, it's a trust that I really want to earn. I believe myself. Why shouldn't I?
Yeah, like, certainly.
Seriously.
What's your stance on, like, being underestimated in those moments, like what, whether it was like at NXT to like things that you want to achieve now, what are the things that you want people to see in you that you know you're able to bring to the table?
Like at NXT, I was told by multiple people, they're like, oh, Marina, I had like 10 of you, you know, this place would be so fucking completely different. And I'm like, but I'm not doing shit. Right. So you'd have 10 really hardworking, too nice wrestlers. Like they're just, you know, beautiful, powerful, all of that stuff, but too nice and not really like understanding who they are. And I never understood what that meant. Like I didn't. So I felt like I never really got a proper introduction. You know, those photos, like, oh, I can fucking talk about this now. Like the photos with that when you got signed to NXT with like Triple H, yeah, where he's like shaking their hand. I never got that photo. And that just sat with me. I wanted that fucking photo. That meant a lot to me. Yeah.
No, it's a moment. Sure.
But it was, we had to kind of like play it cool, you know? And I'm like, fuck that. Like, I want that photo.
Yeah.
And I thought that shit was going on for me, that I was going to have a chance to like, I just wanted to have a good match and then get back there. And I'm like, we're getting this fucking photo, right? Like, that's my moment. Yeah. And I never got it. And it's fine. But that didn't sit well with me. And then I realized I underestimated myself. Like, I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to that shit. And, maybe that's what needed to happen. I needed to go away and I needed to like mold myself. Like Roddy really helped me. We talk a lot about wrestling. It's just impossible not to go a day without it.
I know
it, right?
How that goes.
And it's like, and then wrestling is all, it's fucking opinion based. Mm-hmm. And then you have this idea of something or how someone is supposed to look and another person doesn't. And that's a conversation of why. And then it's like, well, it will make money. And I'm like, I'm a terrible Jew. I don't fucking care about money. Like, I just don't care about, I'm terrible about that shit. I don't know.
But you have your passion projects and it's like the things that you are passionate about. And it's not necessarily about like what, you know, what's going to draw in this moment. And like, I don't know.
And I eventually will be. But like right now, like it's just, I'm 34. I am probably the most athletic I've been in like my entire life. And I feel like I'm not even really pushing myself like outside of this. Like I haven't been doing the things that like fill my cup. You know what I mean?
What is that? What fills your
cup? Jiu-jitsu consistently. Like I have this goal of getting my jiu-jitsu black belt. It's going to be in my life for the rest of my life. Like it's just whenever I feel lost, I go to the mat. That's what helps me. Yeah. And that's been me my entire fucking life.
Yeah.
So that's a goal of mine. I've been neglecting that. And like when you neglect something, it just doesn't, it kind of rolls downhill, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, I know when I'm having inconsistencies in my matches. Like, if you, like, look overall, and I'm not having these kinds of conversations with anyone other than my husband. Professional wrestling has levels, right? That's, like, a conversation you need to earn to have,
right?
You know? And I get that. But I want to, in order to be able to earn to have it, I need to be put in that arena. And I need to, I want those matches. I want to learn.
And that's something that you're actively doing.
Yeah.
Right? And like to have those opportunities come up to get more of the experience, learn from those things, learn from the mistakes, learn while you're out there, be under the learning tree of whoever to be able to have that experience. Where do you like start with that? I mean, you are going to be starting to do some other shows, right?
Yeah. Like I, before I got signed with AEW, I was doing like indie shows here and there. But then the schedule just got crazy because then I got signed and I was like, oh, fuck, like I'm spending no time with my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just decided not to do anything else. And then I took a couple here and there. But, you know, for me, pro wrestling is special and you can do it however the fuck you want to do it. Right. That's what people say. There isn't just one fucking way up the mountain. There's multiple.
Yeah.
So for me, I need to approach whatever matches that are in my future. I want time to prepare. Yeah. I want time to understand what I need to bring to the table.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that pressure.
So Marina that we see in AEW and Marina that we've been able to see in something like Bloodsport, how is Bloodsport for you? Because that seems like that's your arena. That's your wheelhouse, obviously.
Thank you.
But like when you're in there doing that and obviously being able to work with Josh and you guys go way back, I mean, what are some of the conversations that you have with like Josh about this stuff? Because I mean, he's a pretty brilliant mind when it comes to all this stuff as well and blending the two styles.
He knows how to be like, Marina, shut the fuck up. Simplify this.
Yeah.
We simplified. That was the game plan. And just goes back to basics. Yeah. Like, you know, like I have a good enough foundation that I can lean on if I ever feel like I'm in trouble. I don't need to, like, you know, yeah, just try harder than that reaction. Because the reactions that are what are special. But the two shows that I did, he honed it in for me, like, both times. The second one, I wasn't, like, I was into it, but I feel like I could have killed her. Like, I just could have, like, done something else. But, you know, you, like, review whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
At Bloodsport was where I felt that dragon feeling.
Yeah.
Like, that dragon feeling that everybody fucking talks about, having the perfect match. Yeah, we already know that it doesn't exist because it has to come to you.
Yeah.
And I worked my fucking ass off, and it came to me.
Did you know it when it happened?
I'm going to cry because it's a... Sorry.
No, it's okay.
It was just so cool because, like, I wasn't used to people cheering me, and everybody stood the fuck up, and I'm like, and that just, like, honed me the fuck in, you know, and
they're chasing it.
Yeah, like, and a lot of, like, just motivation from Rhonda went into that one. Like, I was just, she helped me so much, like, with my head, and so did Roddy. Like, he was there with me every day, but, like, really let me understand that it happened was I got a voicemail from Roddy, and he knows how nervous I was. He was just, like, left me, like, a little voice message, and he was teary-eyed in it. He was like, you fucking killed it! Mm. Like, and he was just like, enjoy it! You fucking killed it! That was beautiful! Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know, I, like, really made me happy, and it was apparent to people who love me.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I want. Mm.
What were the conversations that you were having with Rhonda leading up to that?
Just strength, just, like, reminding ourselves that, like, we're strong enough to handle whatever it is that, like, is in front of us. And it was important to hear from other people. I just haven't really been able to, like, talk about it with anyone.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's literally what's happening right now is, like, the reason why you fight, and it's the long hours and it's the long days and it's being away from your family and, like, having that feeling and that purpose is what all of that work is about, and, like, living in those moments, but also being able to take that time to go, that's it. That's the moment. Holy shit, I'm in it. And to, like, actually recognize that stuff is, like, it's so special to be able to do that.
On another level. And I feel like, you know, there's those wrestlers, and I'll fucking eat some shit on this. I don't care. Like, everybody thinks they can wrestle. Everybody thinks that they can do this. And, you know, where I really come from, there's some real fucking levels to this shit. And if there was a belt system in professional wrestling, it would be a little bit different. And, you know, people would be having different fucking conversations.
Right.
But there isn't, because everybody can do it. And it's entertainment. It's smoke and mirrors. And that's not what I bring. I bring me.
When you talk about, like, the belt system that happens, whether it's judo, jiu-jitsu, and if something like that were to exist in professional wrestling, and I feel like there's always that conversation of, like, professional wrestling is so built on respect.
Yeah.
But you look at the differences of something like having that belt system and the respect that somebody learns from, like, literally with my daughter, I'm like, I want to put her in martial arts to learn respect to a degree. Like, that is what that's all about. What are the differences you see between those two types of respect?
In professional wrestling nowadays, like, if you're not old school and you're not known for being old school, you don't got it. You just don't fucking got it. Nobody gives you a lick of fucking time. They just, like, look you up and down, and they will keep minding their business. But you have to have that, like, tough skin. You got to understand that, like, you know, this shit doesn't come easy. And, like, people coming in now, it's a little, like, I don't know. Like, I just, this is all I have to relate it to. If you come into a jiu-jitsu school and you have no fucking training at all, like, no one's gonna fucking care about your clout. You can have a black belt and clout, but in a gym, they're only gonna be nice to you because it gets more people in the door. And they know that about you. That's all you are.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they're giving you a good jab for your clout. But Like in jiu-jitsu, like you really fucking have to earn that shit. And in judo and in like, and I'm really grateful that I have a handful of people in this business who like remind me what that belt system is. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm fucking green, but I'm not afraid of the hard work.
Yeah.
I'm not. I've done it. I've surpassed people who are really good at it. Like the fucking oh man, Norman Smiley used to try to kick my ass. He would fucking have his little timer on a button and like, he's like, all right, go again. And like, he's like, you're coming up on 8 minutes. I'm like, keep going, motherfucker. We're going to 20. Like,
damn.
And I just didn't care.
Damn.
I didn't care. And this was at like 8 o'clock in the morning during fucking COVID. Everybody's hit a wall emotionally. And yeah. I'm just like, fuck it. I might never get out of my house again. Like, I'm a freak flag fly out here.
So how do you get back to that moment at Bloodsport? How do you get back to that moment with where you're at now?
Well, for me personally, just having to have dealt with some struggles these last like few months, like I just haven't really been happy with like, I know there's more to me and I'm not doing myself any service. And like the reason I had that was because I was so happy. I was happy at home. You know, I was happy with myself. I know I worked hard and had nothing to lose. And I got to like remind myself every day that I have nothing to fucking lose.
Right.
I refuse to sell out. I refuse to fucking give somebody something I know I don't have. Humble me. Like I'm ready. Like I just, that's the only way you're going to like get that respect. Right.
Yeah.
And, when I approach this stuff, I just really want to work with people really bad. I don't
want to work with
Serena. Mm. Easy. Mercedes. Easy. Athena. Holy shit. We beat the shit out of each other. Fuck. Like, give me Britt. Fucking yeah. Give me Jamie. Give me Kiera. Give me Diamante. Give me all the girls that are like also are in that bubble who want to like break that ceiling. Mm-hmm. I want all those girls because everybody has something to offer, not just one fucking person. And I want, for the women, I feel like once we get back to understanding how to like seriously lean on each other and trust,
yeah.
It's just going to be what it is.
There's only so much TV time.
Exactly.
Right? And that's, you know, sort of the spot that everyone's kind of stuck between rock and a hard place.
And that's fine. Give us a real opportunity as the women's, so I used to fucking say this shit all the time. And we would have like these locker room meetings like back in the day. And like, does anybody else have anything fucking to say? I've been in the business for 6 months. If they had tomatoes and eggs, they would have fucking thrown that shit at me. But I just felt it. I didn't give a fuck. I've been the same person. Ask anybody. I've been the same person from when they met me to now. I said, we are not each other's competition. We are not trying to fucking kill each other.
Yeah.
We are in competition with that fucking locker room. Right. And you know who's in that fucking locker room? My husband. But you know what? Fuck him.
Yeah.
I want to be in the spot that he's in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm after his ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes our sex life amazing. And like,
get it, girl.
Like, I just, that's me.
Yeah.
And everybody's just looked at me and they're like, shut.
No.
Like, well, you know, you never know. I was the new girl and right. I, you know, I only worked my fucking ass off in pure martial arts. I didn't go to a fucking professional wrestling seminar. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I will. Mm-hmm. Send me to one. Send me to 50. I would love to.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry that like your feelings are hurt because I didn't do what you had to do.
Right.
And yeah. That's why everybody fucking hated Rhonda. Oh, my God.
To be a fly on the wall for some of the conversations you've had.
Dude, I can't. She's a fucking beast, man. Like, yeah. She knows what to just let roll off her shoulder. Mm-hmm. And she knows what needs to light her ass on fire. Like, yeah. She knows.
Yep.
That's how well I want to know myself.
Certainly. To be able to see the way that Rhonda operates and the situations that she was put in and like moments that she's been able to have and like to be able to navigate that and like maneuver within those is like, I don't want to say, I feel like, yeah, she doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah. And yeah. She's taken to it. She's,
yeah. Oh my God. Has she ever?
I know.
I know.
And she's so fucking happy. And I'm so happy for her. And like, I just miss her so much. Like, cause I know she's in that beautiful part. You know what I'm talking about. Like, ugh. It's just great to see her. And they're just handling her and Travis just.
Yeah.
Beautiful, always loving home. And they're just living their life. They're just doing it.
They've got it pretty good. Yeah. Browse the acres, everybody.
I know. For real. For real.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on here with me and being able to get into some stuff. And I'm a fan of yours.
Thank you for having me and really, like letting me shoot the shit.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if anyone's like big takeaway from this is like the work that you want to put in to be great and like learn those lessons along the way and figure out your way to greatness. It's not, you're not asking for a free pass on anything. It's just give me the opportunity to go out there and learn and grow and do those things.
Yeah. Apparently it's like, let the people tell you you're a dumbass over and over and over again until they realize that, oh, this dumbass is actually trying to not be so fucking dumb. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck. Damn.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to more Marina on our TVs.
You're the best. Thanks.
A huge thank you to Marina for hanging out with me and like just making the time while we were there in Newark. I know everyone was pulled in a million different directions and it was so, so busy. So I was really happy that she was able to like carve out the time to come and hang. So shout out to Marina. Hope that you guys really love this episode. Check out all the things. Like, subscribe, leave a comment, all of that good stuff. Have a really great Thanksgiving. Kind of, you know, I'm probably not supposed to say this, but it's how I feel. Just disconnect from some shit, you know? Hang out with your family and have real conversations. It's nice. It's very, very nice. I know there's television shows and things happening and all that, but it's nice to just hang out with your family and friends and soak that up. But hey, if that's not an option, it is, of course, nice to be able to turn to some great entertainment during the holidays. So that's me talking at both sides of my mouth. Thanks for hanging out, guys. This has been The Sessions.